Hello and welcome everyone to the LABI College Chapel podcast. I am Miss Yvette and I will be your host for today's episode. And you are all in for a special treat because we have Sister Cindy Miranda Story with us. Hi, Sister Cindy.
Hi.
It's so good for you know, to see you again. It's been a while. And for those of you, for those students who have been with us for a couple of years, you're familiar with Sister Cindy. For those of you who have not met her, you're in for a treat when you're back on campus. So we love Sister Cindy, and we've been waiting, you know, to be able to do this podcast because we know you have great wisdom to share. We know that you have gone through adversities. You have this experience that gives you authority to speak into the things that you'll be sharing with us, right? So just a little bit for all of you, the audience, to some background so that you know a little about Sister Cindy. Sister Cindy and the Miranda family, they have contributed for years since probably the 50s, right? The late 50s. Yes. They have contributed, you know, and served in some way at LABI. Her father, Jesse Miranda, her mother, Susan Miranda, they both worked at LABI. Brother Jesse, right? He taught, he was president at one point. And yes. Even Sister Cindy herself, she was also a professor. And then most recently, in about 2017, is Sister Cindy became the Dean of Spiritual Formation. So she served at that capacity. And she was such a huge blessing to our students, especially our female students that you mentored, that you spoke into their lives and you counseled. So we're very, very grateful for you, Sister Cindy. Today, we're going to talk about a really good topic, right? And we know that you have a special say into this topic. Because of the things that you've gone through. And because of that, right, you've been able to share and contribute in the spiritual formation of the students at LABI. So for yourself, what would you say was the greatest impact or the greatest adversity in your life that shaped your spiritual formation?
I can say without a doubt, my stroke has been my greatest adversity and caused the most personal suffering because it stripped me from my independence. One day I was okay, and then next day, minutes later, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I was totally dependent on doctors, therapists, my parents, my children, friends. I didn't get back to speaking full sentences for about 3 years. My stroke was massive. And so my brain was severely injured, and I couldn't pray. I couldn't talk to God like I used to. And it was very difficult for me to accept that God would allow this to happen. And He had left me in this condition.
Wow, Sister Cindy, that is such a huge challenge that I believe most of us cannot even comprehend, right?
Yeah.
From one moment to the next where we are changed, you know, in our physical sense completely and how we relate to others and God.
Yeah, yeah. And I had no idea how to relate to my children and my parents, and especially God, who I had considered knowing God. But the Lord, in His great mercy, prompted me to repent, turn around, switch my thinking and surrender to his way. Before the stroke, I was in charge of my life. I knew where I was going. I had my future planned out. But after, I heard the Lord clearly say, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness." That's Second Corinthians 12:9. My spiritual formation was really shaped out of the dark night of the soul. There was a 16th century monk named John of the Cross, and he said, "God puts the lights out to keep us safe, because we are never more in danger than when of stumbling than when we think we know where we're going. Then and only then we are vulnerable to God's protection. This remains true even when we cannot discern God's presence." And there may be students out there who are really sensing the dark night of the soul, and they don't sense the presence of God, but we know that God is with them. This was my dark night of the soul, and it was long and painful, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, because it brought me closer to the Lord than I had ever known.
Wow, that is so powerful, Sister Cindy. You know, I love, studying about that, the dark night of the soul, right? And sometimes other people refer to as hitting the wall in your spiritual walk, right? And what do you do with that, right? And that is just so powerful to hear, where in the darkest moment, right, it's a pivotal point. And so how do you find comfort in those times where it's the darkest, right? Or it's like you've hit rock bottom. How do you find comfort in those times?
Yeah. I found comfort in the devotional Jesus Calling. Okay. And Sarah Young writes, "When suffering strikes, remember that I am sovereign and I can bring good out of everything. Do not try to run from pain or hide from problems. Instead, accept adversity in my name, offering it up to me for my purposes. Thus, suffering gains meaning and draws you close to me. Joy emerges from the ashes of adversity through trust and thankfulness." I don't know what... where I got this from, but I would never accept things. Somewhere in my spiritual journey, was there, it was illness or whether it was some kind of negative statement, I would say, I don't receive that. Mm. The doctor would say, you have lupus. No, I don't receive that. Well, here I was in the reality of a massive stroke that God had allowed. What I needed was a massive overhaul of my thinking. And Jesus calling really helped me do that. Sarah Young will help me do that.
Wow, that is amazing. So for some of the students or some of the people listening, Sister Cindy, who think, okay, well, I want to take advantage of that dark night of the soul, right? Or this crisis. Yes. What would you say, how can you put it in practical terms or techniques? What could that look like for, you know, to help your spiritual formation during those hard times?
Yeah, I could not have done it without God's word and prayer and some very timely books, Jesus Calling. In my devotionals, I'm studying Jeremiah, and there's a scripture in there, Jeremiah 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies, and walk in it, and found rest for your souls. We have to re-immerse ourselves in the Bible, the ancient text, over and over again. And in times of suffering and adversity, believe that God's word is his voice to you.
Yeah.
He longs for us to know him through his written word. And I know that sometimes we read the Bible rotely in an unthinking way, routine. But during those trying times, when you really need a word from God, he's always faithful to give us what we need. In my church, we do a rooted discipleship book every January. And just to review what it means to be a Christ follower. And I really like the acronym PRAY that it has in the book. P is for praise, R is for repent, A is for ask, and Y is for yield. And that yielding part, that's stopping and pondering and meditating, yielding part is transforming me right now.
I love that. I love that acronym.
Yeah,
especially I feel like that's something that the Lord has been teaching me, you know, these past couple of years, how prayer is, you know, different than what I grew up or what I thought it was.
Yes.
You know, like, I think we all have it down, right? When we talk about the praise part, in a, we know that there's the praise and worship part of our prayer, the repent, right? Asking for forgiveness and the asking, right? The A for asking. That we have that down for sure, right? That's we have. But the why, the yielding part, that's something that is not, you know, spoken much about or is taught to put into our disciplines, our spiritual disciplines, right? Yes, so why don't you tell us a little bit more about that, about the yielding? What, you know, how, what does that look like?
Let me read a scripture first. Zephaniah 3:17. And I really felt that the Lord was saying this to me. The Lord is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will cry you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I often woke up when I didn't speak. I could sing songs, but not as fast as I wanted to, or they were meant to be sang. But I often woke up with the songs, and I would hum them to God all day long, and but once I relearned how to talk, I would intercede for hours. But then 3 or 4 years ago, I've been nourished and strengthened, and as well as corrected and instructed by contemplation and other forms of ancient prayers. Contemplation goes back to King David, and along with meditative and centering prayer, our desert fathers and mothers use it in the 4th and 5th century. In fact, it was common. 21st century Christians, you and me, stay away from it or resist it, right? Because contemplation is more like surrendering and then accomplishing things. It's more like shedding of thought, more than attaining new ones. Contemplative prayer feels more like letting go. And I don't like that. We don't like that, because we like to hold on, clutch on. But that's exactly how we surrender and take up our cross and follow God. I found that I like holding on to resentments, prejudices, biases, until I surrendered all those resentments to the cross of Jesus, I wouldn't be free. There's all kinds of things we hold on to that make us feel like we got power and control, but that's all an illusion. The Gospel of Mark, which Eugene Peterson, he wrote the message. The Gospel of Mark is the basic text for Christian spirituality. And it leads us directly to the cross of Jesus, where we can discover meaning and hope through our suffering, affliction, and adversity. Would you read a couple of verses from the Gospel of drawn Mark, read 8:34 and 35.
Okay. Verse 34 says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Verse 35 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
Yeah. Yes, yes. And it's all about losing our lives to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about leaving behind, or surrendering, shedding those thoughts, habits, ways of thinking, distractions, and addictions, and embracing the cross for our own lives. In that scripture you read, the Greek word for life is soul. Mm-hmm. And Peterson writes in a wonderful book called Subversive Spirituality. He writes, "True spirituality, Christian spirituality, takes attention off ourselves and focuses it on Jesus. Spirituality is the attention we give to our souls, that invisible interior of our lives that is the core of our identity." I am doing this through contemplation and centering prayer, and it really has transformed my life. And time, we get our wills lined up to his will, our desires in accord with his desires for our lives.
Wow, that is awesome. That is, it's so powerful. I've heard it also be referred to as having those times of silence and solitude, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Sounds simple, but like you said earlier, it's one of the hardest things to do. Yes. It's like, you don't want to separate that time, because it's like, oh, what do I do now with these ugly parts of me and my thoughts, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So what are some of those practices that are included in the contemplary prayer, the meditation, the centering prayer? Can you give us some examples?
Okay, there are 13 psalms, contemplation psalms, and they are 32, 42, 44, 45, 52, 53, 54, 55, 74, 78, 88, 89, and 142. Those are contemplation psalms. And you sit in silence and ponder and reflect God's word to you. And the Bible is our roadmap. And just imagine this. It always was, always is, mm-hmm. and always will be. We have that in the Bible. And we don't realize what a valuable it is. Yes. And I started out with this breath prayer. It's Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And with each be inhale, still exhale. That I am God. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. You can do this however many times you want. The goal is to quiet your heart and mind and listen to God. And then if you journal use the app on your phone to write down what he told you. And maybe you just feel incredibly loved. And that's enough. The goal is to know God, to sit before him and with our souls naked and know him. Yeah. Another way, centering prayer. Start with out with the sacred word, or some word from the Bible that resonates with you. Whether it's Jesus, love, joy. Mine is wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So, I like that verse. And so my word is wait. And whatever you is your word, you inhale and exhale with this word, and just sense the presence of God as you seek him, engaging your thoughts, your imagination, your emotions, your desires. The weight, I have gained so much patience. And since I have been waiting, yes.
Yes, I know what you mean in that sense, right? That I think when I kind of started practicing that, those moments of silence and solitude,
yes,
and contemplative prayer, that that I was able, that my spirit was able to connect with God, right? And I was able to hear him. you know, where here I thought like, oh, you needed the gift of prophecy, right? For in order to hear God speak into your life, right? Or yeah. you actually, you know, it had to stand out from the Bible, but to be able to silence everything out, right? It's amazing that when you
yes. see
how, you know, God speaks to your soul exactly.
And, yes.
And you said something key, like one of the first things is feeling his overwhelming love.
Yeah.
That was like, you just can't help, but when you silence everything else and you're in his yes. presence, that's what you feel, despite of what he has to tell you. Even if it's a word yeah. of correction, you yeah. feel it in love. Like, it's amazing.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. Well, that's so awesome. And you know, Sister Cindy, like you who have gone through some very tremendous trials and tribulations, right? To be able to say like, this is a powerful resource and tool that you learn during the difficult times, then we need to grab hold of it, right?
Yeah.
We need to not wait till we face, you know, the head of the soul, but that there's things, yeah. right? There's things that God wants to release and pour into us and refresh and renew us in those types
yeah.
of prayer.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So as we get close to ending, my last question would be to you then, what would be like that last piece of like golden nugget? You've given gold today already.
Yeah.
You've given wonderful words of wisdom. What's probably the last word of advice that you would like to give, you know, our community?
Yeah. My golden nugget is know him. You're at Bible school for a reason,
yes.
and that's to be change agents. Know God, and if you feel like you know Him more. Mm-hmm. Because he is the greatest lover of your soul. Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Cindy. Yes. And one of the best ways to do that is to separate, to give him that time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To give him that time to just sit with him.
Yes.
You know, just sit with him and give that space, right?
There's yeah. Yeah.
Space to do that. Yeah. And so, we encourage you students, you know, to do that, even to practice, right? 1 minute, 2 minutes a day
yeah.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard.
I started up with 1 minute.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you find, I'm like, when I started doing that, I was like, I think I have ADD, like, or ADHD, because my mind would just, you know, go elsewhere. And you know what, Sister Cindy, for me, I found that it was helpful to visualize Jesus.
Yeah.
That way my mind wouldn't get so distracted with other things.
Yes.
Like, put a picture in my mind, you know. So not necessarily come up with words, give that space yes. right, silence. But I'm like, I needed to picture him or else I would start, you know, doing a list of things to do in my mind. Well, thank you so much, Sister Cindy. We love you. We love your family. You know, everything that you've given, you know, for the kingdom, for our LAVI community. We can't wait to see you, you know, sometime in the future, serving back again, you know, at the school when it's safe. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your wisdom. I appreciate you. You know, I was, not only did you serve the students, right, when you were the Dean of Spiritual Formation, but the staff as well, right? We always went to you for mentoring, for counseling. And so all that is very much treasured and appreciated. So we love you so much. Thank you, Sister Cindy. I'm going to go ahead and end with the prayer as we close.
Okay.
This.
Okay.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. I thank you so much for the life of Sister Cindy, for the Miranda family, Father. I praise you for them. And I thank you, God, because we are even learning. We are even receiving a blessing just from the things that Sister Cindy went through the dark night of her soul, Lord. And just, you know, you purified her and gold came out of the fire through these times, Lord. And we just want to benefit from that. We want to learn from that. Father, I pray, Lord, for any student, any person, any part of our community, Lord, who finds themselves right now in that time, Lord, especially with this past year, the hardest year that we have gone through. Yeah. We pray, Father, that it would be a time that you speak to us, a time like Sister Cindy said, that we turn our thoughts, that we may turn away from our old ways, from our old style of thinking, that we would meet you in new places, that you would speak into our hearts in new ways. Father, I declare an awakening, God, in our prayer life, an awakening in the way that we encounter you, Lord, that it may be not so much of our words, God, but that it be the time where we set aside so that you could speak into us, so that your spirit imprints in our minds and in our hearts, Lord, how we need to prepare ourselves for the world, for the tasks that you have ahead of us, Lord. Mm-hmm. So I pray, Father, that you keep Sister Cindy, Lord, in your hands, that you would continue to bless her, Father, that you would continue to just love on her and dance over her, Father, as well as our students and our community. I pray blessings in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. Amen and amen.